We have all been stressed at work at some point in our lives. It's inevitable. Of course, it's going to happen. But when it's impacting the work you do and the life you live and your ability to sleep, it becomes a much bigger problem. It's often called burnout, like workplace burnout. And you might think, if you're feeling this way, that it's an individual problem. It's all about you. My next guest says, really, organizations have a huge amount to say when it comes to combating burnout. Paula Davis is the founder and CEO of the Stress and Resilience Institute. She joins me now to talk about her new book, Beating Burnout at Work, Why Teams Hold the Secret to Well-Being and Resilience. She joins us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
When you say burnout, what do you mean?
So I define burnout as the manifestation of chronic workplace stress. So we're talking about stress, but it's stress that's been ongoing for a period of time. And it's something that has a work-related root to it.
And what are the symptoms? What would someone be able to observe in themselves in terms of energy or outlook that would be like, oh, I think I know what Paula's talking about here?
So the three big common symptoms or dimensions of burnout are chronic exhaustion, right? So physical and emotional exhaustion, in combination with chronic cynicism. So people just start to bug you and annoy you, and your clients are even bugging you and annoying you, or your patients or what have you. And then the result is a sense of lost impact. I think of it as why bother, who cares? So we start to feel less connected to things that we're doing.
Right. That's important, because the first one, just the chronic fatigue, could be the fact that you have a child at home.
Yes.
But the other, you know, I get it. What you come to this, honestly, you have had experiences of being burned out yourself. How did that inform the work that you're doing with this book?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, it's one thing to sit and read dozens of research studies about what burnout empirically looks like, but then to have actually lived it and lived through really the whole spectrum of burnout, right? So I didn't start, in a bad place, but I ended in a bad place. And so to understand really how that unfolded, and I think really helps me understand when people talk about this, I can help them see it as a spectrum of stress and really kind of uniquely identify with their experiences.
What was the catalyst for change for you? Did you have some magical and mythological light bulb that had you, you know, take back your life? Or did you, you know, wake up, on a Tuesday at noon on your couch and realize that you never actually left for work?
So neither of those things, but so my burnout was a slow process. And by the time I got to the end stages of it, I was having panic attacks very regularly, and I ended up in the emergency room twice, Jesus, actually, because I had really bad stomach aches. So I remember kind of coming out of the emergency room for the second time, thinking, you know, this is really stupid and really crazy. Like, I love, you know, working hard, but I don't want to sacrifice my health for my job. I really need to figure this out. And so that was part of what really prompted me to do really the hard work around thinking about what was my next career going to be.
Teams hold the secret. That's the subline for your book. What does that mean?
So one of the things, I've had a lot of aha moments doing this work over the last 10 years. And one of the things that I thought was similar to what you said in your introduction, like, I burned out because I did something wrong. I had bad stress management skills. It must have been me. I thought of it very much as something that was an individual problem that needed individual fixes. And just, you know, doing this work for so long and reading the research, it became very clear to me that the bigger driver of change and fix when it comes to burnout is going to be at the organizational level. But good luck trying to walk into an organization and say, hey, organization, you need to change. Let's try it out.
Especially on your first day. I need a meditation room and chai lattes delivered to me on the hour. Thanks.
Exactly. It's not going to happen. And so as I was thinking to myself, I'm like, well, if we need something more than an individual look at this, and you can't just tell the organization itself it has to change, there's got to be some sort of middle ground. There's got to be an entry point within the system that kind of carries maximum impact or influence. And for me, that was teams, because with teams, my strategies can help the team collectively, they can help individual performers, and then critically, they can also help leaders be able to lead in a way that we know is less likely to cause burnout.
Tell me about some of the strategies that you are most passionate about.
Yes. So anything that has to do with connection, I think especially these days, is really important. So one of my favorite skills that I talk about is the importance of sharing good news and small wins, because it's very motivational. And so there is a response style that I talk about in the book. When we hear good news from people, oftentimes we don't respond in a way that makes the other person feel like they've just, you know, that they've been heard. Right. And so it's a skill called active constructive responding. So paying very close attention to just asking one more question, having somebody just explain with another sentence, you know, why this news is good. And it can really boost the energy of either two people who are talking or the collective team. So that's really one of my favorite skills.
Oh, that sounds great. What is one of the skills that you think may be the most counterintuitive or the most difficult to execute on? Because the one that you said, like if I was had that reminder, I think I could do that without too much prep. What are some of the things that are actually a lot harder?
So one of the things that really struck me, and it's because I don't think we prioritize this concept enough at work, and it's about meaning and impact. And one of the studies that I talk about in the book talked about a group of physicians in particular that they looked at and found that when the physicians did up to 20%, spent up to 20% of their time doing the work that they considered the most meaningful to them, and that was different for every physician, they all unpacked something different, their burnout rates were cut in half. And so I think sometimes we think about that aspect, like what gives, you know, what's meaningful about my work might seem like kind of a squishy question to ask ourselves, but that if we can do that and find those sources and even just build that in an hour or two a week, that it can really make a difference. And so I think getting people to hear that and understand that might be a little difficult, and then actually doing it too. But I was struck by the impact that something that little amount of time could have.
What advice do you have for individuals in how they can advocate for themselves? So in a world of perfect self-awareness, you would have been able to identify the stomach problems at the first emergency room visit and not the second. What would you say to yourself from your past self that you maybe could have done to raise the flag with your manager or your coworkers and say, hello, burning out over here, stop.
I think some of it is just educating ourselves. Part of where we go wrong is that we use the term burnout now interchangeably with just general, regular old stress. Mm. And so I think we have to be, the former practicing lawyer in me loves how precise we have to be with our language here. But I think that really understanding what burnout is and when you are approaching that and having that intentional conversation with whoever you need to talk to, using that word and really being able to specifically describe what it is that you're feeling, kind of what are some of the sources of it, and then what are you looking for going forward, right? So being very intentional about thinking about each of those pieces so that a leader or somebody in your world isn't sort of guessing or just assuming, she said burnout, but you know, she's really just talking about stress, just go take Friday off and we'll all be fine, because that doesn't work.
Really interesting stuff, Paula. Thank you for joining us to talk about your book.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Paula Davis is the founder and CEO of the Stress and Resilience Institute. She is also the author of Beating Burnout at Work, Why Teams Hold the Secret to Well-Being and Resilience.